We're going to turn it over to Shelley now.
So what our topic today was going to be, things about craft. When we think of our homes, we've talked about the how-tos of some of the things we've done, but you also want to make your home pleasant, decorative a little bit. You want it to look comfortable and homey. As blind people, we do have cares and concerns. I changed the tablecloth on my dining room table. I like those. They're kind of a vinyl on the top, and they've got a little bit of felt underneath them. And you can find them at Kohl's, or you can find them online. I just happened to switch it out this week to one that's kind of got blue flower pattern on it, which is kind of a in-between kind of seasonal thing that I put on. I've got pictures on my walls in the home, and I can't tell you how many times I've had people come into our home and go, "Oh, wow, you've got pictures on the walls." And it's like, well, why wouldn't I? I don't see them, but I know what they are because I put them there and they meant something to me. So I wanted them to hang in my living room or bedrooms or wherever I've got them. They mean something personally to me. I've got a mantle on the fireplace that's got family pictures, and it's got a chime clock, which means a lot to me. I have done crocheting, and my grandmother taught me how to crochet when I was just losing my vision. I'd started during the summer in college, and she had started teaching me how to crochet. And that summer, I had an eye surgery and lost the vision that I had. And she continued working with me on that. And so it's totally possible to learn these things, whether you've got vision or not. And actually, I think by feeling the yarn and the stitches and knowing how to go about things, you actually do just fine. With crocheting, what I like about it is you can kind of rip it out. And if you feel like it's kind of looking strange and you don't feel like the stitches are being even, you can pull it out and start over or just keep going. But you can correct your mistake. With knitting, which I don't know really anything about much. I know that the needles are a lot longer and this kind of thing. You count and you do a lot of your stitch work by counting. And I've seen beautiful stuff. I've got friends that are totally blind, have always been, and do beautiful work with knitting. This one friend of mine has always got a project going. She's got somebody who's had a marriage in the family or a birthday coming up or a grandchild or a baby. And she's always making afghans and things. It's totally possible. Now, to describe how to do it, be a little more tedious because I'm very right-handed and I have worked with people that are left-handed and I don't do as well. But there are lots of books through the library, National Library Service, on crafts and crocheting and things. There's a crafters division within the National Federation of the Blind. And Tammy Freitag is the president of that. You can call the National Center and get her information. They have classes. I know they've got classes where they teach stuff. There's a listserv you can get on. There are emails that go back and forth all the time. I used to be on that, and they're quite active. They talk about various crafts. I don't think there's too many crafts that you couldn't get into. I know a gentleman from Colorado that's gotten very involved, owned his own ceramic shop. Sculpting is something that people have done. Sewing is very possible. That's one of the skills that is taught when you go to one of the training centers, NFB training centers. Sewing is something you teach. It's something I work with people on when I'm one-on-one with them, how to thread needles, sew on buttons. I can do light mending. I've actually hemmed up some things. I wouldn't say it's professional, but it was something, clothing item that I was going to be using pretty much here at home or something. And I've repaired things and put hems in things because I'm very short and it's worked for me. It doesn't have to be the most beautiful project in the world, but if it's serviceable for you and works, it's worth trying. I think the needle threading is one of the most tricky obstacles. And once you figure that part out, the rest of it kind of falls into place a little bit easier. You can get needle threaders through the independent market at the National Center. They're just a wire loop needle threader is what they're actually called. And there's several different types of them. And you can go to Walmart or Joann's fabric store and purchase these things. They're an over-the-counter item. I think you don't get as many in a package as you do from the National Center. And so that's a little bit more advantageous. The ones from the National Center also have a little more of a handle to them. The loop is a little more sturdy. The wire loop ones you get in the stores, when you're learning, they break a little easier. And so that's a common thing. That's not something to beat yourself up about. It's just going to happen. And until you get a little more adept at it, that's the way that goes. I've known people to do a lot of different things like cross stitching, plastic canvas, doing artwork and craft work with plastic canvas.
Sandy?
Shelley and I have talked about crafts before, and I am a longtime knitter. And one of the things that I think is good about knitting is you can always find somebody to teach you if you want to do it. In particularly larger cities where there are yarn stores, they will have classes and teach you how to do it and show you things. But I've had situations where if I dropped a couple of stitches somewhere and I was finishing the project and I really didn't want to rip it all out and do the whole thing again, I would take it to my local yarn store, even if that's not where I bought the yarn. And I would say, okay, I need the knitting hospital because I've messed up something. And there'd be somebody there who could help me fix it. One of the things that used to drive me crazy was finding patterns for projects that I wanted to do. Because years ago, you'd have to buy a print copy and then find somebody who could read it to you. Living in a rural town and wanting to go to the grocery store, and you got to go to the grocery store when it's convenient for somebody else to take you there, I'd have to wait until I could find somebody that I had already taught how to read knitting patterns and to go through the abbreviations and all that stuff. And then I'd have to braille it, and we'd get maybe halfway through and the person would say, no, I really need to go. We'll have to finish this later. And I just hope I didn't get caught up before I had a chance to finish writing the pattern. Now you can get patterns online that you can download as in PDF form, and they actually do read. I mean, when you open it, it doesn't say blank document or empty document or whatever it says sometimes. And you also get to know other people. I've gotten to become a part of a group of women who are all knitters. There's only one other person in the group who is blind, but the five of us get together usually every Wednesday to talk about things. We've gotten to become really good friends. So there's that community piece of it too. It isn't just who else can I find to help me do this? And I treat yarn shopping just like I do other shopping. I rarely buy online unless it's something I know what it is and I just need to buy more of it. And I get somebody to help me so that I make sure I'm getting the color that matches whatever it is that I'm working on at the moment. Call my yarn store and say, well, I'm looking for, and I'll mention some particular thing I'm looking for, or I want to make this project and I don't know what yarn I need to do it. People will help you. I mean, you don't have to go in knowing every single thing, every single aspect of the project to get it accomplished.
Ada, did you want to add to anything?
Sewing and needle threaders, you can get needles that are sort of open on top. It's not a closed eye, and you can learn how to hold the thread tautly in a certain way so that you can actually push it through the top of the needle. If I sew on a button or something, I always leave a piece of thread in the needle. And the next time I go to sew something, I take the new thread and I tie it in a square knot and pull it tight so it's not very bulky. And I pull it through so that the new thread goes through the eye of the needle. And I don't have to go through the whole threading process. Even though those wire loop things are great, this is even easier because you don't have to get it through anything. It just attaches to the piece of thread that was left there, and it goes right through the eye of the needle. And you have the new thread in the needle.
That's a good idea. And those are self-threading needles, the ones that have a little bit of an open space in the top.
They're hard to learn how to use, but once you get the knack of it, people love them.
You use a bar of soap to hold the needle, so you don't have to hold the needle in your hands.
Who's talking?
Jerry.
Use a bar of soap to hold the needle?
Yeah, instead of a pincushion, you'd use this bar of soap.
I think that's a Joe Ruffalo.
I usually put the needle through whatever I'm wearing.
I think it's fun to kind of switch out seasonally things in your home. It's interesting how that can be such a conversation piece for individuals that are not so familiar with blind folk that come into our homes and think it's a regular house.
This is Michael. I'll throw this out as a topic for discussion. What about Christmas decorating? Do any of you do that? And what do you do?
I know we put up a tree. I love decorating, getting things out.
Okay, Bernie, hand raised.
One thing I'm interested in, I guess it's called macrame. They teach the blind veterans here in Richmond how to do that. I've seen really, really nice things that the blind veterans make, and I want to learn how to do that. If anybody does that, I'd like to talk to them offline about that, because I'm not a blind veteran. I can't go to the VA hospital and learn how to do that, but I really want to learn how to do that. As far as Christmas decorating and home decor, we do a lot of that here at my house. My wife, Pammy, she is a thrift store queen, or the queen of thrift stores, antique stores. And yeah, we definitely Christmas decorate. But what we do is she buys basically pictures, really nice picture frames, you know, and it doesn't matter what kind of pictures are in it. You know, she buys it for the nice solid wood picture frame and the glass and the matting, tasks me with cutting out the picture and saving the frame and the matting. She's taught me how to do that. And so we have a collection of nice frames and nice matting. She finds pictures that she wants, seasonal pictures. So we have, you know, like barns, and we have winter scenes. So she replaces the pictures in the nice frames that we have. So we have seasonal pictures that we hang up on our walls that are very pleasant to sighted people, very pleasant to her, to make her happy, put them up and take them down as the seasons change. Everybody's just amazed. We do it very economically, and I've learned a lot about picture framing, learned how to clean up frames and touch them up and clean the glass up. You know, some of the picture frames have been very old and I guess kind of smoky. So I've learned how to clean up glass and use different chemicals to clean the glass up. It's been a learning curve for me, and I've been kind of voluntold to do it, but it's turned out to be enjoyable. Yeah. And as far as Christmas, we do a lot of things to do it economically. Like we go out into the woods and just cut trees down. Small trees, and she finds, you know, different signs at the thrift stores, like Christmas tree farms. I cut it down for her and we string it up. Interested in the macrame, if anybody has any comments on that.
I have done a little in the past.
Jean Park, Alaska Center for the Blind and Visually Impaired, had a workshop. Blind people that went through the Alaska Center all were given the opportunity, and many took the opportunity to learn to use working equipment, saws, lathes, hammers, electric sanders, safely and produce some very nice items. So with the right training and language skills, who can teach it, because it takes a lot of description as well as knowing how to have people learn to feel it, is what we've learned through the years. Almost any things are possible if you have an interest, and know that some communities have those centers.
The centers that the National Federation of the Blind have started, Minnesota, Colorado, and Louisiana have those. I was a student in Idaho back in the day, and we had a woodworking class. And also in Nebraska, there was a gentleman that taught woodworking. And most of the time, the people I've seen run those programs are blind. Occasionally, there's been a sighted person that has actually had training under the blindfold to be able to teach alternative techniques for that. And the stuff they've put out is absolutely beautiful. Anything from beds to clocks. One gentleman in Colorado made a humidor, cigar smoker. The sky is the limit. If you learn how to use your hands, know what to look for, the person that's teaching is skilled to know the equipment, they can tell you what to look for. And everybody should use the same safety measures, blind or sighted, they apply. Honestly, the accidents I have heard of, and they're very rare, I've only heard of one or two, but they were actually by the instructor who just got a little sidetracked or whatever.
My husband is the shop manager for the woodworking in our building. And he had a student, is female, and she was doing projects. And finally, he says, "Do you have a vision issue?" And she goes, "Kind of." And he had watched me enough as I've lost my sight to pick up on it. And he says, "I think we need to work with you on how to feel this rather than see it," because she was missing stuff by a quarter or an eighth or a half inch or whatever. And she was depending on her vision. She had lost that much vision, but not really open to recognizing it out in public. We don't know what we don't see. And until somebody else kind of helps us realize we're at that point.
And of course, crafts could be anything. I mean, it could be, do you do home repair? Do you fix things that are broken in your home or yard?
I had a small son and he liked rocks, and every summer or when it was good weather, his bedroom would be more full of rocks on the floor than anything else. So I ended up going to a commercial vacuum, but I had to learn how to take the thing apart to be able to change the belts and this kind of thing on a vacuum. So I wasn't constantly in the repair shop with it. So even you know, learning enough about some of the workings of your appliances in your home to where you can take them apart and put them back together and change the water filter in your refrigerator or whatever it is.
Yeah, we got two hands raised now. Ursula first and then Bernadette.
Ursula?
I go once a week to the Vision Loss Alliance in Denville, New Jersey, and I was forced into taking an art class because I am not artistic at all. Well, the instructor is partially blind also, and I actually hung up the picture that I painted. We used stencils and we used wiki sticks, and yeah. I made an all modern art picture, and I can see it slightly, and I had more fun than I ever had before, and I'm taking the class again. I made all my grandchildren pictures for Christmas, like a little 2x2 paintings that were just colors that they liked, and I think they enjoyed them.
I've used my cane to figure out where to put a picture on a wall. Sometimes your cane can be a help as far as how far across, you know, kind of finding the center of the wall or how far up on the wall to put it and then how centered it needs to be. Sometimes you can use your cane. There are also things like marked tape measures. There's talking tape measures, all kinds of little fun gadgets like that that you can get through independent market that can help you do it yourself if you're inclined to want to try those things.
The independence market is a really good source.
Bernadette?
I have been doing this for a long time, but I still have some vision. I work with Walmart plastic bags. I make yarn out of it, fold it in half, smooth it out, fold it in fourths, and then I hold it in my hand a thumb length long and cut it. And I can get about 6 of them out of a bag. And I tie them together, and that's my yarn. I roll it up into a ball, and I crochet it into homeless shelter bags. But I didn't have any homeless people to give bag or mats to anymore. So we started making little purses and swimwear bags and little holders for walkers. And the ideas are endless if you just come up with an idea. And you might have to do it 2 or 3 times to get it right. 2 of the bags are free.
That's awesome because they'd also be waterproof. A few years ago in one of our conventions, somebody made those. It was in Atlanta, and they made those little holders for water bottles. It's when we had a march outside in the summer. Of course, it was hot. And they gave them to you, and you could put a water bottle in them, but they were made out of those plastic bags like that.
I even made myself a COVID release bag. We live in a second-story apartment, and the kids would bring things by, you know, because we don't drive. I just lower the bag, and they would put stuff in, and I'd pull it up. It's a pretty big-sized bag.
That is a neat idea.
Shelley, it's Janie. Number one, when you talked about the listservs, I just wanted to share that if you go to NFBNET using Google, you'll find out all the NFB. You can also go to the NFB website, nfb.org, and look for all the listservs. There's tons there for any kind of situation that you want to join. And the other thing is, coming from a grandparent's point of view, we bought our grandsons and our granddaughter a little weaving loom. Back in the day, we used to make potholders. And it comes with that little stick, you know, up and down, up and down, up and down, alternating and everything else. They're so little, they use their fingers. And then instead of making a potholder, we finish the end and it becomes like a bed for some of their stuffed animals. And another thing we did was just toothpicks and a little bit of Play-Doh, heavier toothpicks, like you can get them in a maybe Joann's Fabrics or something like that. They're a little thicker. And we make all kinds of things, forts and areas and houses and, you know, jungles and things like that with toothpicks and Play-Doh. When it gets harder, we put them on the tabletop. If I'm watching them, those are some of the things that we do to A, pass the time, B, bond, and C, get creative. So I just wanted to share those things.
Bernie has his hand raised.
My wife and I belong to this thing here in Richmond called Lifelong Learning Institute. It's basically for, you know, people 50 and above, like $150 a year to join. But they have all kind of classes. They have a lot of craft classes, similar to what the other lady was talking about. They make things out of paper bags. They make things for people in hospice, and then they sell it. Of course, I'm like, you know, the only person that's blind there. I mean, I think there was some visually impaired people there, but very open-minded and very willing to work with me. I'm personally taking a guitar class. I'm taking a German class. My wife and I together, we're taking a dancing class, people teaching people how to do things, just kind of like this retreat is. It's a lifelong learning institute. Actually, they got some kind of grant. I actually get a free ride to and from the classes. Just another idea, and you might want to look to see if your community offers that.
Shelley, this is Jerry. One of the things we were talking about decorating, I found on QVC these hooks that you just peel the back off, stick them on the wall. And that's how we hung some Christmas decorations. I have one next to the front door where I keep my cane, one in the back of the laundry door with a hanger on it. So if I have to take a shirt out of the dryer, they say you could unpeel them off the wall, but I haven't tried it yet. Because I always try to, you know, hang a picture and it, you know, you got to drill a hole and all this and that. And this way, just stick it on there. And they seem to have worked. They haven't come off.
That kind of stuff is always useful. You can put keys on them or canes. I like those sticky things. Easy to use. QVC is a real good resource for finding just little odds and ends, different things like that that are pretty useful in the home.
We bought these 8 pads to help move furniture. Very heavy-duty plastic on one side and a part that the furniture fits on. And surprisingly, they've lasted 20 years. And to move furniture, we just lift it up a little, put one underneath the four legs, and you push it like if it was wax. But you're right, QVC can be helpful.
Another area we like to kind of decorate is festive. We've got a screened-in patio, and in the summer, I like to decorate that up a little bit for events. We have a lot of summer get-togethers with people and can find a lot of neat tablecloths and fun candles and different things like that to set around in your patios and little tables. You get a lot of ideas off QVC for stuff like that. I just like decorating in general and kind of keeping things a little festive and fun. Another thing I like to decorate with is dishware you use in your kitchen. My mom a long time ago got me a set of Christmas dishes, and I kind of like using those at the holidays. But if it's a picnic outside, I like to go to Party City or something like that and come up with some fun festive, or Hobby Lobby, and come up with some kind of plastic or paper plates that are decorative and colorful. And decorating can go a lot of different directions. It can be fine china and really fancy stuff, you know, like Christmas oriented, or it can be just fun, colorful, festive stuff. Children's birthdays and families' birthdays are kind of fun to do that with too.